I'd like you to turn this morning in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. It's good to be home. I appreciate Eddie filling in when I'm having to be gone recently a number of Sundays to help our little church in Aberdeen. We hope to have a pastor soon there, and always a privilege to be able to help one of our churches in our district. And so if you're new today and you wonder, who am I? I'm the senior pastor of the church. At least that's what they told me last time I left. This morning I was assigned duty to be a greeter, and I thought, boy, that's great. The greeters are most important people in this church. Amen. You can do without a sermon, but you can't do without a greeter. Amen. Hand you that bulletin and that greeting. I'm ringing just a little bit, Mark, if you can adjust it to get a little of that out, please. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 14. Paul the Apostle writes this, and he says this, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," notice the phrase, rooted and grounded in love. It will be a frequent reference in Paul's writings, not exactly the same words, but it will be frequent, about the importance of believers being rooted and grounded in love. "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He said, I want you to be able to comprehend just how wide God's love is, how long God's love is, how deep his love is, and how high his love is. I want you to be able to comprehend that and to know that kind of love. Verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. This morning I want to talk about being rooted and grounded in love, or preparing our hearts for something bigger. Preparing our hearts for something bigger. As I mentioned earlier, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it is critically important that we remember why we have this holiday set aside, to remember those who have really fulfilled that saying of Jesus, "No man has greater love than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." Amen? And that's the reason we have Memorial Day. A lot of this generation, I think, they just think it's a holiday we have to start off the summer activities and the hot dogs and the barbecues and the days off and all that. But that's a part of it. And, you know, I trust everyone has some good plans for Memorial Day. But let's not forget the real reason we have it, right? By congressional proclamation, by presidential proclamation, to remember originally those who gave their lives fighting in our Civil War, but now expanded to all of those who gave their life in defense of our nation and those families who are affected by that. I hope you can make the service tomorrow at the Veterans Wall at Kiwanis Park or somewhere along the line that. In our passage this morning, Paul speaks of a love that roots us and grounds us. And with that wording, we can visualize a plant or a tree, if you will, whose roots go down deep, deep, deep into the soil to support the weight of that which is above the ground, the tree or the plant or whatever. The idea is shallow roots, then you have a weak plant. Deep roots, you have strong plants. That doesn't necessarily follow all of the particular references to trees, etc. We know that, but that's the idea, that the deeper we can go, the stronger it will be above ground. The literal meaning of the passage in the Greek language, when you look it up, we find that not only the word rooted, but the word grounded also indicates a foundation. It's a Greek word that means laying something solid, making something so solid and so deep that whatever is built upon it is going to be strong. So it has the connotation not of plants, but of a building. The foundations are strong enough to support what is above it. And so Paul says, I want you to be able to understand how important it is that you Ephesians, to whom the letter was written, that you have that kind of love that is so deeply rooted in the things of God, that you become grounded and God can build you up to be what he wants you to be. And in doing that, you will discover the length, the width, the depth, the height of the love of God. When you think about that, think of the length of something, think of the width of something, think of the depth of something, think of the height of something. You create a structure. You create a structure. And that's what Paul says God's love will do in your life. But it all begins with this idea of being rooted and grounded in love. Now, in the book of Ephesians, it's interesting, in chapter 1, verse 4 of Ephesians, Paul begins the book with talking about love. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He begins his letter with love, and then he ends it in love. In chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He begins the letter with love. He ends it with love. And then in the, not the exact middle, but in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And so throughout the letter to the Ephesians, love is woven through and through as an encouragement, sometimes as a rebuke, and other times as admonitions. But love is the key in this book, God's love for us and our love for God and for one another. Paul says that that's what it's all wrapped up in. And when we think about love in our vernacular and in our culture, we use the same word for love. You know, I love this microphone. I love my wife. And in this, in our culture, in the language, we use the same word. But how many know I love my wife differently than I love this microphone? Amen. I have yet one time to come up when no one's around and say to this microphone, you look ravishing. I just don't do that. That would be kind of weird, all right? Now, it's Jimmy's microphone, so I don't know. Maybe Jimmy does. Maybe Jimmy goes, I really love you. I doubt it. But, you know I love my wife in a different way than I love this microphone, right? I love this microphone because it does the trick. It generates Jimmy's voice, that beautiful, wonderful voice he has, so that everyone can hear it. But I love my wife in a different way. I love my, I don't have a puppy, but if I did, I'd love my puppy one way, but I'd love my children in another way. I'd maybe sometimes love the puppy better. No, I'm kidding. So we have in our vernacular the problem of this definition of what love is and the defining of the word. But it's important to understand when Paul was writing about love in this passage, he wasn't talking about the love of a microphone or the love of a puppy. He was talking about the incredible love of God where he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for our sins. How many know that is the greatest example of love? Amen? No greater love has any man than that he would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said, referring to what he would do, the love of God for mankind, that he would love us. And that's how much he loves every one of you in this building right now. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what your condition is right now, how bad or how good you are, God loves you so much he sent Jesus to die for your sins. How many are glad today? Amen. We are glad for that. But he said it's also important to know that you take that love that God has for you and that you love God that same way, that you love God with as much as you possibly can, with everything within you, that you love Him and that you follow Him and that you serve Him and that you love one another. And he's over and over in Ephesus to the Ephesians saying, remember this. This is what's going to keep you. This is what's going to strengthen you. It's what's going to help you in the hard times and the good times is to love one another and also to love the world. A lost world without Christ. Love them as well. Love is the key. So how tall stands our love depends on how deep our roots. That's what Paul is saying in our passage this morning. How deep are your root love, if you will, for God? How deep are our roots? How deep do they go? How deep do they go into the soil of this relationship we have with Jesus Christ? Everyone knows the parable of the sower, I think, or most of us know the parable of the sower in the book of Matthew, and it's repeated, I believe, in Mark. He says, the sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell on different types of soil, and one seed fell on rocky soil, and the Bible says that it sprouted pretty quickly and grew a plant pretty quickly, but it soon withered. When things begin to get tough, when the sun began to shine on it, and later when he interprets it, that will be interpreted as persecution. When things get really tough, that plant begins to wilt, and the reason is because it did not have deep, what? Roots. It didn't have deep roots. There wasn't soil enough for those roots to grow deep. So they did the best they could, but the plant would soon falter because of no root system. And so with believers, we must make sure that we are rooted and grounded in love if we are going to survive, if we're going to make it. Now, how do we make sure our roots go deep? How do we deepen our roots? How do we make sure there is room for our roots to grow? All right, well, we need to understand that when we give our hearts to Christ, we can't stay planted in that little 4-inch pot that you buy at Wilco with a tomato growing out of it. How many know that? It will grow some, and it may produce a tomato or two, but you've got to take it out of that 4-inch pot and put it into a big one so you can grow pot vegetables. I always get that mixed up, all right? So that you can grow potted vegetables. And the bigger your pot, then that plant has the room for those roots to grow, for those roots to expand, so that that plant gets bigger and can produce a wonderful amount of fruit or tomatoes or whatever it is. And so how do we make sure that we are rooted and grounded in love and that we have ample space for our roots to grow? Well, a number of ways, in my opinion, that the believer can make sure our root system is strong. And how do our roots grow? Number one, I believe that our root system grows strong by reading the Word, by reading the Bible, by knowing what it says. How many know this is nourishment for our souls, right? This is good soil for our roots to grow in. Not just a casual reading, but a reading where, you know, maybe you can't do it every day, but get in a program or a devotional plan so that you can read the Scriptures and Old and New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, Genesis, Revelation. Touch on that every now and then, which we will this morning. But make sure we are reading the Word, because as we read this Word, our roots are going deep. They are going deep. They're going deep. And you may read a passage and it means nothing to you when you read it that morning. But you may find that 2 weeks later, something happens and you go, wow, I just read about that 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, your roots just take a growing spurt, right? As you see that the Word of God relates to you. And so reading this Word, feeding on this Word, and digesting this Word helps our roots to grow. Secondly, I believe prayer is an important essential ingredient to letting our roots grow. Talking to God, praying before the Lord, asking Him for petitions. As we do every Sunday for our prayer requests, lest we pray for others, but we need to pray for ourselves. And then sometimes we just need to pray to commune with God. We need to talk with God. Cheryl and I will do this a lot. We've grown to know that it is important to be able to have talk time, right? And so a lot of times we do a lot of traveling. And so when I'm driving, I do the driving and Cheryl does the talking. I mean, the writing. And that's her talk time, right? And she can just start talking and talking, and I'm listening, and she'll read and then she'll talk some more. And I learn so much more about her by her talking. And then she'll say, "All right, what do you have to say about it?" And like most husbands, I'll go, "Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's right. I agree." But that's talk time, and that's important. It's helping our relationship grow. You say, "Well, Pastor, you and Cheryl have been married in June. We'll be 45 years. You've grown about as much roots as you can handle." No, we're still growing deep roots in our marriage. We're still growing deep roots. We still have things to talk about. We still have things to discuss. And as we have a relationship with one another and we talk to one another, our roots grow deeper. And how many know that's the way it is with the Lord? That as you talk with the Lord, as you spend time with the Lord, designate a little time to pray and talk to God, your roots are growing deeper. How about, thirdly, fellowship with the Lord? Say, we can have fellowship with God. I hope that we do. God wants to have fellowship with us, and He does it through Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit resides within us, and so we have this wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it is important to have. And the word fellowship, I don't have time this morning, but it is so more than just the idea of sitting down to a potluck meal. Usually when we talk about church fellowship, it's around food, right? It's around food. But really, fellowship is deeper. It is a koineo word. It's a word that means this intimate relationship with someone. And so we need that with God. And we can have that with God as we pray, as we read the word, as we think about the Lord, as we talk to the Lord, etc. And then number four, worship. That is an important part of causing our roots to grow. Not just worship here at church. We have a wonderful time worshiping in church, but worshiping the Lord at other times as well. And whether we do it with music or not, there are times and moments that we can worship God. We can worship Him and thank Him for His creation. We can thank Him for His goodness. We can thank Him for our family. We can just worship Him and thank Him and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done." And as we do that, our roots are growing deep. And maybe I can add a fifth one real quickly. Another way that our roots grow is when we have some situations that we don't like. I know enough about roots to know when roots are dipping deep. And down at the camp, our church camp that our organization has, it has lots of rocks in that dirt, I want to tell you. But I have learned enough, because I've fixed enough leaky pipes to know this. If a root starts growing and it hits a rock, it's going to find a way around the rock. It's going to extend other little fingers or whatever they're called, and it's going to make its way around that rock, and it will keep on going till it gets to the source of the water that it wants. And how many know that when you run across rough times, your roots can grow even deeper through those rough times, and you will be a stronger believer because of it. Amen. Now, we don't pray, "Oh, Lord, make things hard for me because I want to be a strong Christian." No, you don't have to pray that. That'll happen just naturally. So roots grow deep when our relationship with Him grow deep as well. Number two, length, width, depth, height. How big is God? We used to sing a song years ago. How big is God? How big and wide His vast domain. To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. How big is God? We don't know how big God is. We haven't been able to put our arms around that yet. And that's with love. Our love for God can grow larger than we can ever imagine. Our love for others can grow larger than we can ever think possible. Our love for the lost can grow larger than we can even know, because love is limitless. Amen. Love is limitless. That's what verse 20 says. To Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That is the power of love. It's limitless. I think to myself, how can I love my children any more than I love them now? But I want to tell you, as every moment passes by, I love my children more and more, and my grandchildren. And how can I love my wife any more than I love her now? But I want to tell you, and I don't mind saying this publicly, Cheryl and I it's at least my vote, sweetheart. I haven't asked your opinion lately, but I'm more in love with her now than I've ever been in 45 years. I really mean that from the depth of my heart. And I think she would, can you at least nod yes or something? Right. Don't leave me hanging up here, sweetie. No, I know she feels the same. And you say, well, you've reached your limit. That must be a limit. Oh, no, I sat by a guy the other day at Swords. What was it he said, Adam? He'd been married, was it 68 years? His wife, you know, passed away recently, I guess, but 68 years. Wow, we're just getting started. Yeah, but love is limitless, and it just grows and grows and grows. And so to know the length, the width, the depth, the height of how big God is and how much His love is, we've only tapped the resources. That's why we need to prepare our hearts for love being even bigger than we can imagine. Now, the last point in the message, we must never leave our first love. In the book of Revelation, we won't turn there, you can if you want, but in the book of Revelation, starting at chapter 2, Jesus sends a message to seven churches in Asia Minor. And to each church, he gives, most of them, not all of them, but he gives rebuke, etc. Not quite ready for you, Sally. There you go. Thank you, though, for coming up, but we'll just sit you there. He gives a message to these seven churches. And the first church he mentions, interestingly enough, is the church at Ephesus, to whom this letter that we just read was written. Now, the book of Revelation was probably written somewhere around the year 96 AD. We don't know for sure, but the book of Ephesus, this letter was probably written somewhere 35, 36, 37, maybe, AD. So there was some time span between when the Ephesians letter was written to the Ephesians and when the book of Revelation and the message to Ephesians was written. But when you read that chapter 2, the first how many verses to that book or to the church at Ephesus, Jesus commends them. He says, you're doing a good job. You're doing some really good things. But right about the middle of the message, he says, but this one thing I have against you. He says, you have left your first love. And for that reason, Jesus says, I am getting very close to pulling your candle out of the candlestick that is demonstrated in Revelation chapter 1. You're getting very close, and that's symbolic for saying you're getting ready to not exist any longer as a church. With all the good things you're doing, you have lost the most important thing. Not lost, I'm sorry. You've left the most important thing. You've left your first love. So get back and start loving again before you cease to exist as a church. Now, some believe those seven churches are messages to seven different time periods, and that could be true. But my personal opinion is that all seven of those messages are messages that could be preached to the church of today. Every one of them. And especially to the church at Ephesus. Because it seems like to me that love has become a casualty of the modern day church. We've lost it. We're doing a lot of good things, but we must never leave our first love. We must always remember that love is the most important thing. You can take away the donuts. But don't stop loving one another. You can take away the coffee. I'm waiting, Lee. But don't stop loving one another. You can rip up the bulletins as hard as Sharina, Sally work at them. But don't stop loving. You can eliminate a lot of stuff. But if you start forgetting to love one another and everything that comes with love, then we are walking in danger of not being a church. We're just a social club. And the world has enough social clubs. what the world needs is more churches that make love their preeminent reason for being. Amen. The love for one another. Yeah, amen. Love for one another. Love for God. That comes first. Love for one another. And love for the unlovely. Love who we may not agree with. Love who may have to, gulp twice. A love that will not compromise the standard. Let me read to you one of the most relevant passages of the church today, in my opinion, from Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 10. Listen closely. Words of Paul. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He's writing to the church at Colossae. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. There's that phrase, rooted and built up. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What he is saying here to the church is that you are rooted and you are built up in Christ. But beware, verse 8, lest you be cheated or deceived to believe something other than what we have taught you. And that, I believe, is what's happening in the church world today. Under the guise of love, instead of helping those who need help, the church is loving them with the idea that you're okay. That is the worst injustice you could do to anyone. One of the greatest marks of love is when we correct someone. It doesn't happen very often, but when Sally does have to correct me, and all of you know Sally and Cheryl and I go back a long way, she's like a sister to me. She's worked for us a long time. But every now and then, Sally, I'll call you in my office, don't I? And I'll say, Sally, this is what's happened. Do you think I was wrong? Do you think in your opinion, I value your opinion? And I'm open and honest. And she knows if she says, yes, Pastor, you were wrong, I tease about firing her, but she knows I won't do that. I value that. And not too often, but there's been a couple times where she said, yeah, Pastor, I really think you, I don't know her exact words, but something like, yeah, I think you were a real jerk or something like that. And that stings. But that's the greatest love that she could have for me, is to tell me the truth. Amen? And that's what the church at Colossae was facing. Embracing everything that came along and throwing out what God said to hold to. And if the church is going to be a church of love, it also has to be a church that stands for truth and not compromise it. And so, get rid of everything else. But like the church in Revelation chapter 2, we can't leave our first love. We've got to love people. We've got to love each other. We've got to forgive one another. We've got to help one another. And we've got to love the lost and win them to Christ. That is the call of the church. Amen? Because the greatest verse in the Bible, for God so loved that he gave. Amen. All right. Now, Sally, you can get to the piano. Chop, 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 chop. Let's stand together, please. I was getting gas yesterday. And as I was getting gas, a young man, probably in his mid-20s, drove his really fancy truck. right on the other side of me. And he had this big American flag. And when I saw that, And as he got out of his truck, I peeked around the gas thing and I said, "I love your flag, buddy." I said, "Thank you for flying it." You know what he said? He said, "Thank you, sir. It's an honor to fly that flag because so few people want to honor it anymore." Oh, I said, "You're absolutely right, son. You keep that flag flying high. Praise God." He loves his country. And so we should. Amen? So we should. But even greater than our love of country, we need to love our God. And love one another. And love the lost. And love the hurting. "By this shall you all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So Father, we're going to conclude the service today by praying that you would enlarge our capacity for loving. For loving those who are unlovely. For loving those who are hard to love. For going the extra mile when we've already gone more miles than we think we can. We pray that you would help us in our capacity to love our family, our children, our grandchildren. We thank you for people that love their church. We thank you, Lord, for love that embraces, that cherishes, love that rebukes when necessary, and then brings the salve to heal the wound. We thank you for love that is strong and powerful. We thank you for love that is gentle and soft. We thank you for the love you have for us and the love that we need to have for one another. Keep us in that love, Lord Jesus. Keep us in that love. Help us to prepare to let love be bigger than we've ever thought possible. Prepare us for an expansion of love, whatever that might look like, Jesus. Prepare us for seeing the length, the width, the depth, and the height of love that we have yet to see. We thank you, Lord. Be with everyone now as they go their separate ways. Help them to have an enjoyable weekend, Lord Jesus. And we thank you again for your great love for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's give Jesus a hand of applause, shall we? Amen. 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 All right, God bless you. Thanks for coming to church today. You're dismissed. If you have need of special prayer, I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you. But otherwise, have a great day. God bless you.